Maybe if you've been out and about near the airport lately, you've seen the construction that is going on in that area. There's a lot of that hillside over on the same side as the airport that's all dirt, and they're shaping and they're moving things around and preparing for something that is going to be put in that area, like a new industry going in there. But in those kinds of situations, we know that, you know, the construction period often lasts a long time, and there's a lot that goes on in the preparation for new buildings and all of that that goes in. The Christian life, of course, is in a similar fashion. We reflect upon it always seemingly in a construction phase. We're trying to build, we're trying to improve. Sometimes there's things you got to tear down before you go in and put what needs to be there in its place. And that's certainly the case with the Christians that we read about in the book of Ephesus, who had come out of pagan backgrounds. Idolatrous religions were in their past, and there was a lot of rebuilding and there was a lot of tearing down of things. And Paul in chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, says this: "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You can just imagine, based upon your knowledge of what the Old Testament talks about, how that the pagan backgrounds of many of these people involved all kinds of dark things. He just simply says the term darkness. When you read through some of the prophetic books that were written to God's people who had strayed off into idolatry, you can sort of get a glimpse of the kinds of things that people would do and be involved in. Terrible deeds, terrible wickedness, and immorality. And they had been a part of that. One time, he says, you were in all of this darkness, but now, he says, you are light in the Lord. So walk or live as children of light. So this is the reminder that they're given. It's one that the Holy Spirit gives us continually. Walk in the light. There are things that you've left behind. Keep them in the past. Now you are children of light. Walk in this manner that God has given you, revealed through His Word. For He says in verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So what we need to be bearing, what needs to be blossoming and blooming and bearing fruit in our lives, is all the things that pertain unto this. The goodness, the righteousness, the truth, all of these are the things that God reveals in His Word. We can read about the fruit of the Spirit at the end of the book of Galatians. But Paul is urging them to develop and cultivate in their lives the beautiful things that will make them more like Jesus Himself, evidencing their growth and development. Because God expects, when He investigates the little plants, when the seed has been sown in someone's heart and that little plant is growing up, obviously it's going to be immature for a while, but eventually that plant will become a tree. And then it's expected to bear fruit. And there are things involving bearing fruit outside of what we typically think, leading others to the Lord. That's absolutely a good thing. But then the fruit of our own lives, the development of qualities, the changing of our ways that are weakness, that are more toward the dark than the light, those immaturities in our characteristics, our qualities that we're trying to grow and develop so that spiritually we are the mature that we need to be. He says, continuing in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. There are things clearly set forth in Scripture that God approves of. Peter speaks about those things that will allow God to look down upon us with eyes of approval. He says that in the third chapter of 1 Peter, when he speaks about, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit, let him turn away from evil and do good, let him seek peace and pursue it. For, notice, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So when we live according to goodness, righteousness, and truth, then we will certainly find ourselves approved by God. What we do will be acceptable to Him. And that's how we want to be found, because the Lord, at any point in time, could return. And what will we be doing? And how will we be found in terms of our conduct and our character and our fruit bearing? In verse 11, he tells us this, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." The first part of that is a little easier, right? Okay, I won't go do these things. I'm not going to have any fellowship with darkness, the unfruitful works of darkness. We don't want to do those things, but sadly, in our culture today and over the last how many decades, the world, the society in which we live, has intimidated, has caused people who are standing for right to be afraid to speak out. And so many people are silent. And so evil and error has advanced, has become brazen in its proclamation that it is right, and it has no tolerance for anyone who will stand against it. And in the meantime, you have many people that should be, as this verse says, exposing the darkness, pointing it out, calling it for what it is, that do and say nothing. That's not right for us as Christians, most certainly. Because not only are we to have nothing to do with evil, but we're to point it out and expose it for what it is and show men that they must cease from such deeds. For eternal life with Christ depends upon our separating ourselves from such things. Verse 12 is interesting. It says, "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." There are some things that are so terrible, so evil, corruption, that even to speak of them is shameful. And so we often speak of certain things with euphemistic terminology. We don't just spell it out and just speak of it very graphically. We will talk about it in shaded terms so that it's not so offensive, because there are things that are so shameful we dare not even talk about them because of how corrupt they are. And yet some people involve themselves in such things. He says we're to expose evil. We're to stand strongly against it. But all things, he says, are exposed. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So the urging is, if some of you are, he's saying, sleeping spiritually, you're not awake, you're not keeping your life pure and holy as it should be, you're not exposing as you should be the evil that is around you, if you're not fulfilling your work as a child of light instead of one who used to be in darkness, then he says, make the necessary change. Arise from the dead. Awake from your sleep. Christ supplies us with light right here. It's necessary for us to daily take it in. You know, Moses, when he went up on Mount Sinai, after a prolonged period of being up there, when he came down, what was his appearance? He was radiating light. It was a fearsome thing for the people to see, and they didn't want to even see him, so he put on a veil so they couldn't see his glowing features. As Christians, we should be with God day in, day out, on such a regular basis that we cannot help but shine when we go out into this world. We shouldn't appear like the world. People shouldn't mistake us for worldly people because of what we do, how we talk, the manner in which we conduct ourselves. It shouldn't be that way. We should instead, because we spend so much time with God and what is good and right, that we are glowing, we might say, with characteristics and qualities and the way in which we carry ourselves and conduct our affairs, that people cannot help but know there is someone who's different. And that's in a positive way, that we will glorify and honor God through the lives that we choose to live and the things that we do and say. Tonight, if you're here but one not yet cleansed and sanctified and living as a child of light, there's something that you can do to separate, be separated from darkness and come into the light, which is where we want to be. Those in the light will one day be forever in the presence of the one who is light. In that place where there will be no longer a sun, it's not needed because God Himself will be the glory that illuminates that heavenly realm. Through faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, a resolve to turn our lives over to Him and cease to live sinfully, a confession of our faith in Jesus Christ in baptism, in which we're immersed in water and figuratively raised to walk a new life, that's where the transformation occurs. That's where you become a Christian. And in that, then, life that you live with hope, there is the continual growth and development. There is the shining forth to honor God through the life that you live, so that one day you can be with Him forever. It's a hope that we have as we maintain the walk. But we can turn aside from the path. We can give up the faith. We can, in weakness, succumb to temptation. We can be discouraged. Many things can happen. If you need to return to your Lord tonight, if you need to be restored, if you need to recommit yourself to faithful living, then you know your Father waits for you, and we would be happy to help you at this time as we stand and sing.